The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Good morning! Good morning! Morning. Yeah, that's a little better. Hey, we're glad to see you guys here. If you are visiting, my name is John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill Church. Glad to have you here with us. We celebrated 5 years as a church in February. And we kind of announced an unfolding vision that God has been sharing on our hearts about how He wants us to be used to further spread the kingdom of God in the Northern Virginia area. We're calling this vision campaign our Hope for Nova campaign. So if you don't own this book or don't have a copy of it at home, we want to ask that you raise your hand. Our ushers will give one to you, or you can pick one up on the way out. But we want you to get behind this vision and this mission. If this is your church family, Hope Hill Church, then we want you to know what we're doing, what we're feeling called to do. There's some things that are unique about us, but ultimately it's all about spreading the kingdom of God, which is what the church is about anyway. It's about doing it in the situations and circumstances and settings where God has placed us. And so we want you to get behind what God is doing here. To get the ball rolling on this vision, we're trying to double our monthly income. We've asked that you as a church would consider doubling your tithes and offerings this month, which would bring us bringing in about $70,000 in this month, the month of April. And we're halfway there. 2 weeks in, we're halfway there, so we're right on track. Thank you for responding the way you are. If you're still praying about whether how you can give or in what way or what amount, then we want to honor your prayers as well. And if you want to just let us know that you're praying but aren't sure what to give, then you can fill out this pledge card and think about it. Let us know that if you can maybe give something by the end of the month or whatnot, if you're not ready to give today. Or if you're ready to dive in, you can put a check in the offering plate today. So thank you for coming. If you're visiting, we are not one of those churches that only talks about money, I promise. But to be honest, money helps us do the things that we're trying to do. So give as God leads you. If you're visiting, please don't feel obligated to give. But if you do give anyway, we want to say thank you in advance for whatever God leads you to give to what Hope Hill Church is doing. Today we're going to be talking about the importance of God's Word in our life. We started a series called Growth Track last week. We're going through 4 steps of what it means or how to grow in our faith as maturing believers. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not sure what you believe about God, you're not sure what you think about church and all of that, we want to say welcome to you. We want this to be a warm, welcoming environment where you can get your questions answered. Where if you're not sure you got things figured out, you know what? There are a lot of things I still don't have figured out. And we welcome that. We want to get together with you. We want to help you discover these things, pray through these things, and help you in that journey. Growth Track is basically a set of classes that will help you take some next steps spiritually. And what I'm doing this month, as we get ready to start this series of classes, is I'm kind of giving a highlight of what to expect in these classes that are coming. Now, the class is going to take you deeper. I'm kind of giving some overview thoughts. For instance, step 3, you're going to do some, how many of you have taken like a Myers-Briggs type personality test? Part of that will be incorporated, because part of us figuring out our walk with Christ is figuring out who we are, how we're wired, what our personality is like, how God has gifted us and uniquely shaped us and made us people that can be used by Him to do the work He's called us to do in this world. So we want you to sign up for those classes once they start next month and get on board. It's going to be great. So let's go ahead and dive into week 2. If you have your notes, you can open them. I can already tell you that based on the first service, we're only getting halfway through our planned teaching for this morning. I just talk too much. And so we don't want to keep you here all day. So we're only going to cover really half of the curriculum. We'll do part 2 next week, and it's going to be good. So the process of maturing within Christianity, the early followers of Jesus were called what? Starts with a D. Disciples, exactly. Disciples were individuals who committed themselves to following a particular teacher, a rabbi, a leader, and not just to sit and attend a class, but they actually would live life with them. So for the last 3 years of Jesus' life, from the age of 30 to 33, he didn't only have the 12. A lot of us think of the famous 12 disciples. There was actually crowds of much higher that followed him, that were followers or disciples. And Jesus' hope and prayer was that more disciples would be birthed and would come and be raised up to follow him. Jesus called us to be his disciples, to follow him. And in those last 3 years of life, he poured into them. And I hope that in our time together, you're also discovering that Hope Hill Church is all about taking the message of Jesus Christ and helping us to see it for what it really is. For years, many people have taken a religious approach to walking with Jesus. What do I mean by that? Religion is, in a sense, a set of boxes that you check, a set of steps that if you do them right, and if you complete these tasks, enough of them, you can earn God's favor, that you appease a God of your worship, your choosing, by being religious. But the truth is that all of us, the Bible says, none of us are good enough. None of us can earn his love. None of us can measure up to how good God is. We all fall short of the glory of God. And yet, God doesn't call us to a religious way of life. He instead says, in realizing who you are, in realizing your weaknesses and your burdens and your faults and the things that trip you up, I want you to know that I love you. I love you unconditionally. Anybody going to sing Katy Perry for us now? I love you unconditionally. It's like my favorite song now. And Jesus says that in spite of who you are, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter how far you've wandered off the path, I'm pursuing you. I love you. There's nothing that can keep my love from you. And it's freely given to anybody who would receive it. And in light of that, God says, if you want to receive my forgiveness, if you want to love me, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. And so it's not that we do these set of things in order to earn God's love. It's given freely. But because of his love for us, we should then respond in certain ways. Turn, look at the person next to you. Hopefully the one you know. Do you love them? Say, I love you. Okay, some of you aren't saying it. There's something wrong. Now, if you are close to somebody, if you love somebody, hopefully, in a normal situation, you're going to want to please them. You're going to want to do the things they want you to do. If you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll do what I like. Now, I'm not saying you should go home now and say, if you love me, you know, take advantage of the situation. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll follow me. If you love me, there are certain things that we should do. There are certain, and within, even though Christianity, we need to be careful that we don't just make it about a religious set of do's and don'ts, that we instead embrace the love of our Father and discover the depth of what it means to be in a relationship. In any healthy relationship, there's going to be communication. Some of us sometimes need help working on that. I'm the first to admit that. Some of us need help in understanding the other person's feelings, and so listening as well as talking. These are just basic principles in having a relationship. And that's what God our Father desires from us, is to be in relationship with him. And in the same way, there are some basic principles that will help us grow in these steps. I was reminded in studying this week for this class of one of my favorite movies growing up, Karate Kid. Bet you thought I was going to say Star Wars, didn't you? Karate Kid. And, you know, there's one of my favorite scenes is Mr. Miyagi has called Daniel-san, and Daniel-san is like, you know, I want to learn how to be a martial artist like you and teach me. And so Mr. Miyagi finally gives in and says, okay, the first lesson, what was it? Come on, guys. Wax on, wax off. Exactly. He had them wax all these cars. And then the next day, or I can't remember how much time passed, he comes back over for lesson two, and it's paint the fence, and then it's sand the floor, and then it's paint the house. And finally, Daniel's son is like, ticked off, like, forget this. I'm not going through these steps anymore. You're supposed to be training me, and you're just making me do all these stupid motions. And you know, it's going to be better if you just see the clip. So here you go.
Show me sand the floor. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Big soccer. Sand the floor. Sand the floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. Show me paint the fence. Up, down. Up, down. Up, down. Other side. Look, I always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock list. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. That! Show me paint the fence. That! Show me side to side. That! Show me sand the floor. That! Look, I always look, I come back tomorrow.
So the principles, the essentials we're going to talk about today and next week, since there's just too much to cover in one day, are basically our wax on, wax off things that we need to learn as followers of Jesus if we want to be the fully devoted followers that he's called us to be. So let's dive in, all right? So the goal for each and every one of us is that we would become spiritually mature. And it's a process for all of us. None of us just arrive there. It's not that you pray a prayer and some kind of blessing is done over you and all of a sudden you're magically a spiritual wizard, okay? It doesn't happen like that. It's a process for all of us. And these habits, spiritual disciplines, sometimes they're called, are things that we need to develop. Of course, you know, if you know the movie, there's a lot more than just wax on, wax off that, you know, finally Daniel's son, you know, learns the whole, you know, crane thing. You remember? Yeah. Okay. In the same way, there are many various spiritual disciplines that you and I can learn about and discover. But there are some core key ones that I want us to nail down. And we're going to start with a couple of these basics. First of all, we're going to start with the Bible reading and prayer. And next week we're going to talk about community groups and stewardship. And we'll get into those next week. As we look at these habits, though, we need to realize that what we do in life and the way that we do them, these things are important. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, this is being said of those who have come alive in Christ, who have decided they want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And Paul is saying to those Christians in Colossae, he says, you have put off the old self with its habits, and you have put on the new self. The scriptures describe each of us as being born in our sin, in our flesh. And there comes a point that the word Jesus said was that where we must be born again, where we realize that, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm broken. Yes, I can't get through life and deal with all of these things on my own. I need the Savior. I need His filling, His transforming power in my life. I need to follow Him. And so He says, you put on the new self, which God is continually renewing in His own image to bring you to the full knowledge of Himself. And so the habits we're going to try to help you develop. And some of you, this is old nature. You've been doing these things for ages. Our hope is that you help pour that into others, that discipleship relationships would begin to happen among you as friends, among our community groups, and all of us, where I even need to be reminded of the power and the importance of these habits in my own life. Reading the Bible, prayer, Christian community, and stewardship. So let's dive in. Number one, Bible. The Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this. The whole Bible was given to us by the inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this about the scripture. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the words of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. And in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen or read or look at the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In that passage, it compares the person who does that as someone who looks in a mirror and sees themselves that they're a mess and they walk away doing nothing about it. We have to let God's word, not just us be in it, but let it get in us. We have to spend time reading it so that we can be transformed by it. As a junior in high school, I remember buying my first Bible. This was teal, so it would match my cardigan back then, my favorite cardigan, and my bolo tie that I would wear on Sundays to church. I've grown out of the cardigan and the bolo tie, but I still like teal, kind of, okay? But this Bible over time has become worn. It unfortunately was left out in the rain, and it swelled up, but I still hold on to it because I've got a lot of notes I wrote to myself, prayers I prayed about friends and situations and circumstances going on in my life. And this Bible became precious to me. I began to know it. And more importantly, it helped me begin to know myself. I cut some extra bookmarks and ribbons to put in here, because I developed a reading plan with the help of my youth pastor, where I would read 10 chapters a day. And they aren't long chapters. I made sure they weren't. If they were long, I would pick a different one. But I would move each of the bookmarks. I'd do 4 chapters in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, and 3 before bed. And it helped me learn the Bible. It helped me learn God's Word. It helped me allow God's Word to get into me and transform me. What I want to do as a pastor and a shepherd in your life is help you discover the importance and the depth and the richness of God's Word in your life. How many of you have some kind of Bible app on your phone? It's so easy these days to have the Word in our life. You can set it up. There's so many different Bible apps, but you can set it up to where a daily reading is sent to your phone. And so during the comings and goings of your day, you can spend time just on your phone, just reading the Word of God. They've even developed them so you can highlight them and save things and write notes. It's really cool, the technological advancements that have happened, even when it comes to the Bible.
But the key is that we need to begin to get in it and not just read it or hear it or listen to it, but to do what it says. The passages I just read of Scripture tell us a couple things about God's Word. First of all, it tells us that it is inspired. It is from God. The Holy Spirit, through men, God's Holy Spirit gave men words who wrote down these words in the original languages of Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. The Word of God was captured, and we have them today. Over 40 different men were used, over 1,500 years, different parts of the Bible written on four different continents, and yet from cover to cover, well, what used to be a cover, from cover to cover, it tells one story of a loving God pursuing us, a broken and distant people, and the story of redemption through the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life for each of us, and how he then wants to redeem the rest of the world through us. This is the beautiful story of God's Word. It's inspired and it's from him. It teaches us truth. In our modern day and age, truth is relative. Your truth might be different than my truth. And what's true for me may not be true for you, but the truth is, there is a truth that is always truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth. And if you want to know what is true for all time, you have to be in his word, the truth. It teaches us about our sin. The truth is that we all have sin in our lives. We, apart from God, we are sinners. We are sinful beings. Now, the person next to you may be a worse sinner than you, but you're still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. And Paul said, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, "I'm the chief of all sinners." We all have sin in our life. We all struggle. I have to daily surrender my own will to Jesus to overcome certain habits and tendencies and temptations. And I have to submit to him and learn about my sin, but most importantly, how God's Word can straighten us out, how it can make us strong. Jesus said, "Where you're weak, I will be strong." It motivates us to do what is right. I remember reading as a junior in high school, just going through that regular routine of being in God's Word and seeing the stories of God's love. And Jesus said that they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. I came to see and fall in love with Jesus. There's another passage that says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It motivates us to do what is right. It prepares us and equips us to live like Christ. So my encouragement to you is to use these four steps in your time of Bible reading. First of all, that you take time to read his word. You look at a passage, and it doesn't have to be a long passage. Actually, sometimes taking small bite-sized pieces is better. You read it maybe two or three times. Maybe you set your phone up on one of those Bible apps and it sends you a daily reading. And you read it two or three times. And look for the highlights. Look for the thoughts and the words that jump out at you, that come to life, and think about those things. It might even be helpful to get a commentary or a devotional that will help kind of bring some of the passages in the Scriptures to life. But the key is to be in God's Word. Number two, not only read it, but reflect on it. Think about the key words, the thoughts, and the phrases that are standing out. What's being communicated in that passage? Who is it being said to? And how can you apply it to your own life? Reflect on those words that speak out to you. And you might even do this in a creative way. My daughter Jordan and Brandy, they both got these Bibles. They're more square than rectangle. That's rectangle, yes. They're more square. They've got this extra column over here on the side where they can journal notes. But what I noticed, what they were doing is coloring. Actually, like, using crayons and drawing pictures. I was like, "What are you doing?" And I went and looked, and it's really beautiful. It's their way of meditating on something on those pages that's standing out to them and drawing it out. And so whatever creative way that you can use to dwell on the words of God and meditate on them is important. Take time to reflect on what it is that God is speaking to you. And then, as James said, don't merely just read the word, but do it. Respond to it. You got to look at the word and say, what is going on here that I can apply to my life today? Look at it after reflection and begin to ask God, what am I being asked of here? And if it's difficult or tough, like if you're reading a passage that says you should forgive, then think, is there somebody I need to forgive in my life? And if it's hard to answer that question, then pause for a minute and say, God, in this passage you're talking about forgiveness. Is there somebody I need to forgive? Or, God, I don't know if I can forgive. That was so painful, what so-and-so did to me in my life. I don't know if I could ever forgive. And take that as a moment to ask God's Holy Spirit to come and to give you what you can't do on your own. Help me to forgive, God. Help me to live like you. I'm supposed to be like this. Help me. I can't do it on my own. Come into my life and respond and then react. Again, James said, don't just listen to the word, but do it. Let the Bible passage move you into action. And if it's uncomfortable, pray about it and ask God to give you the strength to do it. So, in my life, I developed a habit, a routine of reading God's Word on a regular basis. Some of you, you go to the gym, you have habits and routines that you follow to keep yourself in shape. Some of you have certain things, that regimens you do. Some of you run often. My encouragement to you is that you'd look at your life spiritually like you look at your physical life. That you develop some habits and routines to get yourself spiritually growing strong. Approach it in a way that best allows you to focus on the words of Scripture. Find a Bible reading plan. Find a schedule that you can follow and be consistent. Number two, prayer. This past week was pretty convicting for me. Prayer has not been one of my strong areas. I've typically been the kind of guy that just takes God for granted. If there's a struggle or a situation in my life, I've been the one that just said, well, God will take care of it, instead of praying to Him about it. This past week, we had the first Tuesday of the month. The first Tuesday of each month, as a church, we have dinner at 6 o'clock, and we ask everybody who wants to come, and as a group, we pray. There was about 30 that gathered this past Tuesday, and we just had a night just praying for one another, praying for God's moving through our body, praying for God's moving in our community. And that night, while hearing other people pray, I got convicted because God was basically, when was the last time you and I just had a conversation that didn't have to do with anyone else? And that's it. Most of the time I'm praying either for you or for something I'm supposed to be delivering to you, instead of just having time. And so I got convicted about that. And I realized I need to be praying more. Prayer is one of the most important things that we can do. I often teach on Luke chapter 5. That's when Jesus called some of the first disciples, Peter. This was the story where they caught no fish. Remember that one? And Jesus says, go back out to where it's deeper and cast your nets on the other side. And they do it. So, of course, God shows up in some powerful ways. They decide to leave their fishing stuff behind and to follow Him. From there, they go on to heal some lepers of leprosy, to cure some blind people. They do some amazing things. And then Luke 5:18 says, and then Jesus drew away to a lonely place to be alone and to do what? What do you think? Pray. Jesus, and if you see this in Scriptures, He often withdraws to pray. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus, guys? He's God. Okay, Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, perfect in every way, and yet He's needing to pray. If Jesus is praying and needs to pray, you better believe that we should be doing it as well. And I'm the first to admit that I need to be doing it more. So prayer needs to become a regular routine, a part of our wax on, wax off ritual. Are you in God's Word and are you praying regularly? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, always be joyful and never stop praying. Does that mean you should you know, walk around all day, you know, like monks and, oh, God, thank you. And no, you don't have to get weird about it. Hopefully you pray at all times, but you don't have to close your eyes when you pray. Did you know that? There's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to do that. Hopefully if you pray while you drive, you don't close your eyes. That would just not be good. And so we need to just learn to be in constant communication with God. Hopefully, again, if you're growing in a relationship with somebody in your life, you're not just the one doing all the talking, or they're not doing the only one talking all the time. You're spending time communicating with each other. That's essentially what prayer is. It's us having communication with God, letting Him know your frustrations, letting Him know your requests, thanking Him for who He is and what He's done in your life, praying for others, talking to God regularly. Tim Keller says, we only pray well if we are immersed in Scripture. It's through this process that we learn prayer vocabulary the way that children learn their vocabulary. That is, by getting immersed in the language of the culture and speaking it back. If you want to see yourself grow in your prayer time, spend more time in His Word. But if you're not in His Word, don't not pray. Just start praying as well. Does that make sense? God wants to be in a relationship with us, and every relationship needs communication. So come to Him. Jesus' closest disciples said, okay, so we get that we should pray. We see you pray. You're telling us that we should pray. So teach us how to pray. We're going to just briefly look at the Lord's Prayer. Many of you know it. But they're more than just understanding that Jesus said, when you pray, always say this prayer. That's not what Jesus meant. Was there's motivation behind the words that I'm going to say in this prayer. And those parts of this prayer are for you to incorporate in your own prayer time. So let's look at what these look like. First of all, Jesus starts the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In our prayer time with God, we should find time to praise Him, to worship Him. In your own time, whether you're praying in the car or praying at your desk or praying in your bed or wherever it is you're praying, are you lifting up Jesus? Are you worshiping God for who He is? Lift Him up and worship Him. The second point, pray about the purpose of who God is and what His will is. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our time of prayer shouldn't just be, God, you're awesome. I want this new bike. It shouldn't just be about what we want. Now, it's okay to have certain desires and to express those to God, but ultimately, our focus should be, God, align my heart with yours. Help me to see your will in this situation and circumstance. Seek His purpose and His will in your time of prayer. I've often heard it said that prayer is us getting our heart aligned with God's. C, provision. God, I ask you to provide for my daily needs. It's okay. Jesus said, give us today our daily bread. It's okay to ask God for things, but don't look at God like a genie in a bottle and you got to appease Him just the right way in order to get your needs met. But still, God says, come to me, ask. What father's child comes and says, God, I need bread, and He gives him a stone? God wants us to come and present our requests. He may not always meet them exactly the way we hope, but He will listen to our requests. And His answer may be yes, no, or in time. Present your requests to God. Give us today our daily bread. D, pardon. We need to come to God and we need to confess. Even as disciples, as individuals who have put their faith in Christ, we still need to daily come to Him for confession, for asking for forgiveness. Jesus, when He was had the Last Supper with His close friends, He got down and He washed their feet. And Peter was like, no, you're not washing my feet. And He was like, if you don't let me wash your feet, Jesus said this, you'll have no part of me. And He said, well, fine, my head and everything is well. And Jesus said, one who already has had a bath doesn't need to have a bath again, but you still need to have your feet washed. What does that mean? That even though we may believe in Jesus and follow Him, we're going to walk through the dirty streets of this life and we're still going to get tripped up. We're still going to fall into temptation. We're still going to sin. And we need to come to Him and ask for forgiveness for those things that get into our life. Forgive us our debts And then he goes on and says, as we forget our debtors, we need to pray for God to forgive us. We need to pray that God will help us to forgive others. But we also need to lift up one another. If you know someone in need, if you know someone who is having a hard time, or if you just need to lift somebody up, we should pray for one another. We're actually going to pause right now, and we're going to do just that. This morning, Michelle Hill came to me, and she let me know that her daughter is in the Navy, and they're out at sea. And about 4 o'clock this morning, it was discovered that one of her daughter's crewmates, a fellow sailor, went missing overboard. And there's a lot of heartache right now, a lot of wondering, a lot of searching. And so we want to take time to pray for the sailors, for the family of this girl, brand new to the Navy and now overboard. We also want to take time to pray right now. Some of you have been praying with us for the Bowman family. A young man, 17 years old, named Trevor, has been battling cancer for quite some time. And they called all the family together just a couple of days ago, saying that they thought it was time that he would pass any moment. And he, as of this morning, he's still fighting, but they think the moments are drawing near, and the family's gathered and some close friends. And so we want to take time right now. Let's lift up the sailor's family, and let's lift up the Bowman family, and just lift them up and ask that God would be present with them in the midst of this troubling time. Michelle, will you pray for the situation with your daughter and that sailor? And anybody willing to pray for Trevor Bowman and the Bowman family and friends and family? Anybody willing to pray for them? Lori, thank you. All right, let's pray. Michelle, lead us. So in our prayer time, we should take time to pray for others. And that last point, we pray for protection. We pray that God would be there to help us in our times of weakness, in our times of temptation, our times of struggle. He is there to help us. And my hope is that with prayer and Bible reading, we would learn to put them together. We would learn to start to do them regularly. Again, not trying to read enough and pray enough to somehow earn God's love, but to realize, God, you love me. And so therefore I want to learn more about you. You love me, and therefore I want to bring my requests and my needs to you. I want to draw close to you because you first drew close to me. I want to ask Michelle if you would go ahead and come on up to the front. We're going to bring our time to a close as our worship team gets in place as well. These two principles that we have started talking about, again, there's the tendency that we can think that somehow if we do enough, pray enough, if we're good enough, we can earn God's love. But the truth is that we'll never be good enough. Our desire to be in His Word and to pray with Him and to pray for others is so that we do it out of His love for us. When Jesus, at the end of His last days here on earth, said to His disciples, His closest ones to Him, He said, the work that I've begun, the things I've taught you, the miracles you've seen me perform, the lessons that you've learned together in your time with me, it's time for you now to take these on and to teach them to the world. And now 2,000 years later, Christianity is just exploding all over to the ends of the earth. The mission began there and then, and God wants to continue it here and now today. Jesus said to them in Acts 1:8, He says, as I prepare you, I am going to another place, and I will come again, but I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I go, you will one day be with me. But before that happens, I'm leaving you here to be my witnesses, to take my love and to share it with the world, to share it with those that I've placed around you. But you can't do it on your own. You need to wait. You need to wait for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And today we sit here among you and I together, who are also being called to learn these principles, to walk these steps, to grow in our faith and become the disciples that Jesus has called us to be. But we can't neglect the Holy Spirit. And so today, I've asked Michelle to come. This past week at prayer time, she shared with us. Michelle is a journaler. She writes a lot of her prayers down. And that may be a way that you discover a great way to pray, is just write down your thoughts. Well, she asked at Tuesday night if she could read the prayer that God gave her for our church. And I said, you know, that's so powerful. I want you to read it over all of us at church this weekend. So she has agreed to do so. But what I want you to hear is not just her prayer, but the power behind the words that God has given her. The power that we need to realize that only comes through the filling and the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're sitting here today and you say, you know, I've stumbled in my Bible reading. I'm weak in my prayer life. I actually am kind of weak in every area of my Christian walk. Then you may be trying to do it on your own. And you don't have to. God sent a spotter to help you in your life. A helper, a counselor, the Holy Spirit to be present and to fill you. And this morning, I want to do what they did in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Jesus said, I want you to wait. The Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to give you the power, the ability to do everything I want you to do, but go and wait and pray. So they gathered together all in one room. They stayed there until their prayers were heard by God, and God poured the Holy Spirit out on them and empowered them and enabled them to be the ambassadors, the missionaries, the sent ones that He's called us to be. And this morning, if you're here and you're saying, I'm struggling in my prayer walk, I'm struggling in my Bible reading, I'm struggling in my Christian walk, then maybe you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to come and know that you're not called to do this life on your own. Jesus wants to do it through you. And if that's you, I invite you to get up out of your seat and to come forward and to join Michelle and I as she prays over us. And we ask God to open our lives and to fill us so that we can do the Hope for Nova vision, so we can reach those that God has put around us. It begins with us opening our hearts and abandoning ourselves to Him. So come forward this morning now as our worship team leads us, as Michelle prays over us, as she begins to pray now. I want you to come now. Respond. Let the Holy Spirit drag you out of your seat if He has to. Come forward and let us pray together that God will use us to do His work. Come now. As we pray. Come on, get out of your seat. Let's go. What are you waiting on? Michelle, pray for us. Let's do this.
To live an abandoned life. It's not about seeking to reproduce the life of Jesus. It's about being an emptied and a surrendered vessel for Jesus to live in, so Jesus can repeat His own life in us. Our part is to keep the channels open without obstruction. Through us, Jesus loves those caught in sin, and He ministers to them through us. Jesus prays through us if we keep the channels open and clear. It's how the Lord uses our lives for the glory of the Father. We no longer cry out, how can I do that? Oh Lord, do this through me. The cries of our heart become, Jesus, do this through me, despite my human weakness. And we ask Him to speak through us now. We open ourselves up to the Lord with total abandonment, saying, Father, show us what's on your heart. Direct our thoughts to what's on your heart, so we can cry out boldly and open our mouths to speak your words. Let us deeply desire the things you lay on our hearts. May the compassion for those lost burn deeply within our spirits and motivate us to lay aside all the things of this world, so that what ignites is your spirit within us, your compassion for the lost and your love for them, to be so evident it cannot be denied. Lord, you're doing something challenging within Hope Hill Church. You're bringing forth a vision, a next step for the people you have brought here. It's not an easy road to travel, yet it is the right road to be on. You are the navigator, the guide up front. And every step of the way, you will show us where to walk and how to move within the boundaries you establish. It's not about us. It never was. Father, you placed a vision within the hearts of a few many years ago. And all the while it's been moving forward, often undetected to the human eye, yet always seen by our Heavenly Father. The lost are his passion, and saving the many will always be God's goal. Lord, thank you for including us, your children, to participate. I pray each one of us would be stirred within our hearts to hear your voice speaking. Raise up the warriors of prayer that will stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of those lives being fought for. For there is an enemy, and he does not willingly surrender his grasp. But we have the mighty name of Jesus as our weapon to defeat his schemes. And it is done firstly through prayer. So rise up, stand tall, live out your life in abandonment to the one who saved you, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Father, I pray that your words would be ignited in our hearts this morning. Father, I pray you would break down every wall and every barrier in our minds that prohibit us from responding to you. Lord, it is about you, and it always has been. Lord, I just pray you would just surrender and melt our hearts this morning, Father, that whatever burdens our hearts, whatever the needs are, you know each one individually, Father. You know the weights that they're carrying. Lord, you don't mean for us to carry those weights. You tell us to come to you. You say, lay down your burdens, bring them to the cross, to Jesus, the only one who can lift them. And right now, Father, I pray that you would just anoint your word in the hearts and minds of each individual in this place as they leave here, Father, and they read your word. Infuse fresh passion for your word, Father. Give them scriptures that have depth and meaning to them personally, that would confirm to them that you are speaking, Father, and you are moving. You're doing something new and exciting in this place. We've got the opportunity to be a part of it, Lord. And I just pray that we would all just unite our hearts, unite our minds, Father, and that we would take that love that you're pouring into us and we would take it outside of these four walls, into the lives of those who are lost and hurt and broken. Father God, you are sovereign, and we give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing now and in the future. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I also just pray for those who might be in this room who are wondering what is going on. I pray, God, for hearts to be open to the moving of your Holy Spirit, that if somebody in this room has never surrendered their heart to you and said, Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior, God, I pray they would do so right now. I pray they would realize your love and your forgiveness is offered freely, and all they have to do is open up their heart to receive it. Lord Jesus, come and begin new life. And this moment I pray, God, take each and every one of us. Show us our next steps. Draw us closer to yourself. Help us to be empowered by you so we can do all that you're calling us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.